get disconnected.
Hi. We're calling the House Veterans Committee on House Committee on Veterans Emergency Preparedness to order. It is 3 p.m., well, after 3 p.m. on February 22nd. We're going to move the order around just a little bit, at least in name, even though we're not going to do much different. The Veterans Facilities, Veterans Mentor Programs, and Veterans Treatment Courts will actually be issues that we're going to be dealing with in May. So we will not have testimony today. I do want to draw everybody's attention to the letter that I put into OLIS for today. It is my intention over the interim to develop a series of grants that are similar in nature to the types of grants we've been working on to encourage different types of activities and stakeholder cooperation for facilities, for mentorship programs, and for treatment courts. So that's why we're having those discussions probably in May. It's also my intention to have some type of veterans transportation grant or grants, depending on the need. And today we have Mr. Devin Whitaker from Lincoln County, Mr. Connie Tanaka from Malheur County, and Director Mitch Sparks, and whoever else you would like to bring forward to talk about transportation grants of the past and the need for transportation grants in the present and the future. Is that acceptable for today's? All right.
Good.
Mitch, come on up, and whoever else you would like to bring with you. And we're going to turn it over to Devin. You're first on the list, so how about you start, and then we'll hand it off to Connie after you.
Sounds excellent.
Okay, you have the floor. If you could, for the record, please state your name, your address, and how much you need to pay Mitch Sparks. Oh, sorry. Your name and your address, for the record.
My name is Devin Whitaker. I'm a County Veteran Service Officer in Lincoln County for Newport, located in Newport, Oregon. Our address is 611 Southwest Herbert Street, Suite C, in the great city of Newport, Oregon, 97365.
Perfect. Tell us what's on your mind about transportation, veterans, and the need out there.
It's probably no secret to the folks on the committee that rural veterans face many barriers to transportation. We see requests through our office quite regularly for transportation to healthcare facilities. Not always limited to healthcare facilities or health appointments at all. We have a lot of requests for even local needs. As it stands, the Disabled American Veterans offer transportation services for local vets to the Portland VA healthcare facility only. I'm not sure if it's well known, but many of our veterans, while we do have a local clinic, the CVOC, Salem CVOC has a satellite clinic out here, the Newport Clinic, as well as a one-day-a-week in Lincoln City. The bulk of the veterans that we represent through this office seek their health care either through the Salem CVOC directly, meaning physically in Salem, or any of the other CVOCs in the greater Portland metro area, or at the Portland VA hospital itself. Additionally, some of our veterans receive their health care under the VA Roseburg healthcare system. Even though we're in the Portland catchment area, many of our vets go and utilize the Eugene CVOC or the Roseburg facility. Given that Disabled American Veterans, while we value the service they provide, I mean, it's immense, it's only limited to that Portland VA healthcare facility. And so, if a veteran needs a ride to the Salem CVOC, for example, we have to coordinate with some of our local nonprofit partners to find a volunteer and ensure that that can happen. Presently, our office has been working on a transportation initiative in partnership with the Retired and Seniors Volunteer Program through Oregon Coast Council of Government. However, that, like all programs, it's fabulous in theory. It's funding sources that we're constantly on the hunt for, applying for grants, and then also doing kind of local fundraising within the community, either through some of our auto dealerships or you know, various insurance companies. We've had support for various veterans events and programs in the past. So, doing a local fundraising, it has its own challenges and obviously requires a lot of ground pounding and work to raise those funds. While we're more than happy to do it, having consolidated sort of grants available where an organization can apply in a one-time shot and, you know, possibly fund either all or part of their annual operations within, you know, said grant application. I mean, that would be highly, highly convenient, especially given that we have an infrastructure that we can write that under.
Okay.
So, I mean, the need is great. I'd say our local clinic sees presently, I believe Dr. Al-Kaidi has around 1,500 veterans under his care, and our office represents upwards of 3,500 veterans. So it's nearly a third of our veteran population that we can assume is either not receiving health care or receiving health care from a different facility that they're not able to easily get to. I don't have any hard numbers on that, unfortunately, today, but would be happy to get those or try to get them if needed.
Okay, Mr. Whitaker, we have one question. I know somebody has a question. Thank you very much for your comments. I'm going to open it up for questions, if we could, to make sure we have time for Connie and for Mitch as well, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that input. Mr. Good?
Mr. Chair, thank you. This is Representative Escobel. How often do these people need transportation? Do you have any numbers on that, or is it just you say there's a lot? What means that?
I would say on average our office receives upwards of 2 to 3 phone calls for a ride to somewhere in either Portland or Salem, the request for a ride. Sometimes we can, if it's at the Portland VA, obviously we can make that phone call and put in the request to DAV directly, but more often than not, we're reaching out to local volunteers to try to get that veteran transportation. And so I'd say we get, you know, between 2 to 3 requests for rides a week. Usually when the veteran requests a ride, the volunteer might coordinate with them directly. So it's not something that we track. It was something that came up as a need, and that we're just happy to try and facilitate to ensure that these folks are getting to their appointments on time. So just on as an estimate, I'd say 2 to 3 requests through our office a week, but it's possible there could be more.
Thank you.
Could we possibly get some hard information on that and start tracking those phone calls, those requests?
We certainly can. I'd be happy to do that. Absolutely.
It would probably be helpful in the future if there were those types of grants to be able to make that case.
Right.
Well, and you know, a big part of it is manpower and funding. Right. We're a two-person office.
Right.
And so I'm sure everyone in the room is aware of the many hats that the VSO wears at many different times. We will be tracking as our transportation initiative gets its feet. We'll be able to have a lot of hard data on that. In the meantime, I'll put together a spreadsheet and let Pete know that we're going to start tracking that from here forward. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. And other questions for Mr. Whitaker before we hand it off to yes, sir.
Thank you. So this is Representative John Lively, and I don't remember when we toured the state on transportation. I'm trying to remember if in Newport, is there a local bus or transit within the city of Newport?
There is. There's a Lincoln County Transit. Mm-hmm. We do have local transit. We do coordinate, especially for local appointments for veterans. We have a way of getting them, you know, bus tickets and
okay.
things like that.
I think locally we're
doing a little better than maybe in the past, and we have open compliance with our transportation department.
Sure, and part of the reason I ask is, so this is another example. Besides veterans, there's a lot of elder and others that are facing these same kind of issues in our rural communities.
Absolutely.
And part of the requirements of the new transportation package we're raising a substantial amount of new money for transit. And part of the requirements is linking rural communities back into these. And so I would think if we're doing an effort, we ought to look at how we complement or support that, because that district would be one of those that can apply for grants. And the goal is to connect communities to other communities so we can get people into the valley or wherever those things are. And since there's already an existing transit there, but so I appreciate the efforts you're doing, but I think there is a real opportunity for us to combine efforts with the others, because it's not just veterans in any rural communities that are having a real problem getting to the services.
Yep. Thank you. Good input. All right. Thank you, Mr. Whitaker. Please hold on the line. We're going to transition to Connie.
For the record, my name is Connie Tanaka, the County Veteran Service Officer for Malheur County. My address is 316 Northeast Goodfellow Street, Suite 4 in Ontario, Oregon, 97914.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify on the topic of veterans' transportation issues. Malheur County is one of the 10 counties that receive highly rural transportation grant funds. This provides rides to medical appointments scheduled through the Boise VA medical facility. These rides are provided by Malheur Express, and it's working really great, but the way the grant is worded, we're not able to provide rides to non-VA medical appointments. I have veterans asking me what they're supposed to do, and I don't have a real good answer for them. And not all of them have family members that can take them to their medical appointments. So that's a challenge for them, and like you were saying, other seniors in the communities also. We also have veterans that need rides to get groceries, and just had a veteran request a ride to attend a local friend's funeral. I couldn't get him there, so I don't know if he attended it or not. And the majority of these veterans requesting rides are senior citizens. They're in their late 70s, 80s, and 90s. I just went on a house call today, and the daughter was having to take her dad to a medical appointment. She's got an SUV, and he's just getting out of rehabilitation and has got a walker, and so she has a challenge in getting him into the SUV to get to the medical appointment.
Right.
And so Malheur Express, operated by Malheur Council on Aging and Community Service, does an excellent job providing door-to-door transportation to the VA medical appointments, and I'm sure if given the opportunity and grant funding, they would gladly provide the rides to non-VA medical appointments and any other places that the veterans need to go to that the grant would provide funding for. And so once again, thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Great information. While you're still there, any questions for Mr. Tanaka here? Representative Lewis, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Representative Lewis from House District 18. I don't know if you can answer this question or if somebody else can, but I'm just curious about, are there any kind of reciprocal agreements or any way that somebody like in your situation in Ontario can obtain services through a VA in Boise or somewhere in Idaho? I'm not talking about federal. I'm talking about the ability to maybe seek assistance through a state VA. The answer is probably no, but I'm just curious.
I'm hearing crickets.
You want to answer that, Mitch?
Okay. Why don't we use this as an opportunity to introduce Mitch, and he can come into the conversation.
Chair Evans, members of the committee, my name is Mitch Sparks, and I'm the acting director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And Representative Lewis, to answer your question, is that if we're reaching out to the Boise VAMC for help for like transportation, is their answer is going to be the DAV van network. But unfortunately, I'm 99% sure that it can't go across the border to Oregon. So our grant, Highly Rural Grant, Transportation Grant, has the ability to cross borders. And just to kind of give an overview of the program, thank you for letting me kind of roll into the overview. This is our fourth year of doing this. This covers all 10 highly rural counties in Oregon. This is a federal VA rural Office of Rural Health grant. It's each county gets $45,000 a year. So they are very, very good at using the funds that they get. We're fast approaching 1 million miles of miles driven for this grant. We drive and utilize the majority of this grant nationwide. Oregon's been very successful. And I'd like to talk just really briefly about why this has been a successful grant and why it works well for Oregon. And the key to this is that when the grant came out, We went to them and said, how can we, well, you need to use your current infrastructure, your current transportation system to, and not try to add anything onto it, but take this money and use what's currently being used and add connections. There's actually routes that they'll meet the next county over to take them to the next place. And it's like, I feel it's almost that small town rural feeling where they use their own ingenuity and ability to work together to make this work every day. And they're very creative. They have to overcome geography, weather. They don't have restrictions on veterans who are in wheelchairs or if they're using oxygen. And this is for rural, and the VA Office of Rural Health has it right, is that veterans need this type of system because it's a long way to appointments. And also with the CHOICE program, this could be used for veterans who get CHOICE appointments in the economy outside of the VA. They can use it for that. So just one veteran in one county, they use this very frequently for their kidney dialysis. If this was the state paying for this through Medicaid, not the federal VA paying for this appointment, this, you think about the cost offset that $45,000 is doing for providing that transportation to that veteran. That's an amazing, just one person, and for $45,000. And the folks that run these rural transportation networks, CCO, Malheur Express, they are some of the most go-getter. They have their own people out changing tires in the spring and the summer. I mean, it's truly a good model of what we feel as an agency, too, as a really important, very important part of priorities for what veterans need in Oregon. Because, okay, so we've got those 10 rural counties covered, but within Lincoln County, they have rural areas. Yamhill County has very rural areas, Sheridan and all that. And there is no way in Sheridan that there's a scheduled ride to get to the Portland VA hospital.
Right.
And this, in having a program or a grant program or a voucher grant program where we can help these rural counties that don't qualify under the highly rural to have a program where they go from point A to point B, and using the current infrastructure, the current transportation network, where we can provide that money, that voucher system to do that, would be it really, we're talking about the health, welfare, mental health care of veterans. It is absolutely crucial that we can kind of craft a program where it's cost effective, it's local driven. Not from the state, from my desk saying you need to, you know, you got to do this, is that they are the ones who've made those routes and the creativity to do this and make it work for $45,000 a year. So we are currently looking at, we're looking at 1921 legislative season, but would be very willing to sit and talk about what that vision is. How could we make this work? And there would be a lot of tough decisions on where this. I know that the South Coast has a lot of transportation issues in Coos and Curry to get to different appointments because they might have to go as far as White City for their appointments, and that's over a mountain pass. We would have to figure out where the need is the most throughout the state. We would need to figure out how would we, you know, is this going to be a voucher type program, or are we just going to give that transportation network a set amount of money and say make it last for the year? But it can work. This is Oregon. We need to take care of our Oregon veterans, and I believe that the transportation, especially the rural transportation networks, can make this work.
So what I'm hearing is, the agency is in favor of some type of grant program to help the counties that are not included in the 10.
Correct.
And maybe even perhaps help the 10 with specific issues and work with the transportation folks to ensure that we are supplementing ongoing work that's helping transit across the board.
So the law, Representative Evans, members of the committee, there's a lot of questions to be answered, but 4 years of experience of doing this has given us a great insight on how to make this work.
Okay.
And if we can work with the federal VA, and if it's our, and we can make this work, trust me, they have a lot of stipulations. We have to do a lot of checking up, and as an agency, we are taking a cut of that for administrative costs, but it's very little, and we're making that work to do that too.
Okay. So, any questions for Mitch on this? Okay. Devin or Connie, do you want to add anything to Mitch's very even-keeled, not appealing for a good program, appeal for a program?
I'd like to add on the DAV rides, the one that runs through Ontario. We're lucky if it runs once a week, if the driver is available mm-hmm. to drive. They have a problem getting volunteer drivers because it is on a volunteer basis.
Yeah,
and
just
so we have that issue here.
Just so you know, 10 years ago when I was working in a different position, I would lose sleep at night thinking about the octogenarians trying to drive a snowy road, trying to get their buddies to and from hospital visits. So you had me at we need a transportation grid and support. So I understand the concern, and the to me the tragic part is, a lot of the folks who have been doing this for 15, 20 or more years that volunteer and have big hearts to do it, their eyesight and driving abilities may not be what it once was. So we have an opportunity to perhaps make it safer for people in addition to making it more convenient. And Mitch wants to add one more thing. Go ahead, Mitch.
Chair Evans, members of the committee, ODOT did run a pilot program. It went from 2013 to 2016. That was a voucher-based program. And I know that the Ben Redmond Lapine area had this, and I believe down in Southern Oregon was another recipient of this. There was three areas, and they did a three-year pilot, and I will send that report from ODOT to you, and they have some good recommendations and such from it. So,
all right. Well, Connie and Devin, thank you for taking time out of your scheduled day, and I know that you've got many hats, and I just want you to know how much we appreciate what you're doing for vets.
Thank you for having us.
You take care. So, committee, any questions for Mitch on this issue? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm still trying to understand if there is like a federal VA in Boise, and I'm talking specifically about Ontario and how far they have to travel to Portland and so on.
Well, Ontario Ontario will be going to Boise Catchment Basin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's why I was trying to find out if grant funding for under transportation can be used to transport out of state.
Chair Evans, members of the committee, for the Highly Rural Grant, yes.
Okay.
Not only Idaho, but they also go do Walla Walla, too. So
okay.
Portland is split up into five medical catchment areas. And veterans, depending on where you live, have to seek services within that catchment area. Usually for that side of Oregon, that part of Oregon, it's Boise. If you live in the upper central part, it's Walla Walla. Portland runs this point. There's a catchment area for Roseburg, White City. So it gets confusing, and a lot of times we have to duplicate times five with them to try to get some buy-in on different things. But that's the way the federal VA healthcare system is set up.
That's what I thought I heard. I just want to confirm.
And
thank you.
We could, I mean, theoretically, there's no law that says you can't use Oregon dollars to get Oregon people to and from care, even if it's in a different state, because of where Boise's at, comma. It might also be something we could work with the with the state of Idaho, perhaps, on some type of cost sharing for others. But using the federal template, to begin with, that has some success, I think is a good place to start. So, any other questions for Mitch? All right. So, while you're there, we won't ask you more questions, but for veterans facilities, veterans mentor programs, and veterans treatment courts, what I want to do is just basically throw out the concept and understand that the concept, much like how people were trying to design a horse in committee and came out with a camel. I understand it's going to be much different than what the initial concept is. But for veterans facilities, I know that over the last many years, the participation and membership of some of the more traditional organizations, American Vets, American Legion, VFW, Numbers have declined because of the impact of time and the all-volunteer force. But there are some places where a facility actually is more than just a place where people go to have their meetings. It's also a community center. It's also a hub of other type of activities. And the thought is to put stakeholders together and come up with ideas that basically say, all right, if there is a partnership of a couple of different groups with one particular facility, so for like in Independence, there's not a hall anymore, but in Dallas, there's an American Legion Hall, but not a VFW hall. People could theoretically put in, so it's not just one organization, but multiple organizations that also have some type of community service. Mm-hmm. Redmond was talking about the fact that they have a particular size kitchen that they could use for emergency management purposes, but they need a $25,000 fix to one of their building structures. So the idea would be to basically say, all right, to help the folks out there that have these halls but can't necessarily maintain them the same way they used to but have a public mission, let's see if there's some interest in perhaps putting some money to help some of those facilities that have a more than just their club service opportunity, but can help them with some of the repairs that would make sense. That's really the focus of that particular concept, and I'm going to be looking for volunteers that want to work on that. The second one is the mentorship program. MOA and some other organizations have been doing some work on recognizing that the person-to-person navigation of reentry and reintegration into life, having a connection to another military family, is important. In World War II, Korea, Vietnam, et cetera, when there was a draft, that was not so hard to identify, but in today's culture where less than 2% actually serve, people can live in a community and not know that there are other vets nearby and not necessarily have those linkages. So again, a grant program to look at benchmark programs around the country and to perhaps help that process. The third one that, again, we're looking to talk about more in May has to do with veteran treatment courts. We have a couple in Oregon that have a longer track record than some others. But one of the things I want to look at is not just the replication of the treatment court in similar fashion to the drug court, but what are some of the other associated costs that can make a drug treatment court more effective? Especially around the state, certain areas are going to have different needs than other areas just by their nature and their geography. So the goal is to have these grant-type programs queued up, so in 2019, 2021, ODVA could, again, not all at one time, but work at one at a time, so we can again make sure we're using the lottery dollars in such a way that we're helping the folks out there doing outreach, we're helping some of the organizations that have been doing a good job that have some particular needs, and also we're using the money to pilot new programs and see what works and not invest too much if it's not working in something that we might regret. So that's kind of the focus on that, and anybody who has ideas for those certainly would welcome them. It's not an exhaustive list by any means, but I just wanted to alert the committee that those are the kind of the direction I'd like us to go into going into 2019. Questions? Crickets, seeing none. All right. Thank you very much. Real quick, Tuesday. Tell us what we're going to be doing Tuesday. We have two Senate bills on Tuesday and some hearings.
That's right. Chair Evans, members of the committee. On Tuesday, we'll be hearing Senate Bill 1517, which relates to veterans and big game hunting tags. Mm-hmm. We'll also be hearing SCR 204.
And you got word on that, right? We moved it up? Okay. Okay. SCR 204 has two people in it. It was the Senate omnibus package for folks who have fallen in the line of duty, and both families will be invited for that day. We're going to likely assign co-carriers for that particular SCR just to ensure that both family get the full measure of attention. We also will have some emergency management updates coming up on the 1st, correct?
No, I'm sorry. Chair Evans, members of the committee, we will actually be having that emergency management update on that same day, on okay. Tuesday.
So it is my intention that March 1st will be the last meeting for us, a catch-all meeting. The 29th, not 29th, is it?
It's the 1st.
The day before the last.
Oh, 28th.
Because not leap year. 28th.
February.
February 28th, right. I was like, not leap year. 28th, we'll have the two Senate measures, and then we'll also have basically emergency management day. The 1st is unscheduled yet, just in case there's something that surprises us, but that will be the last day that we meet as a committee.
All right.
Seeing no other business, have a wonderful day. We are adjourned.
Great.